بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our previous lesson, we talked about the statements of the creed of Imam al-Tahawi pertaining to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he mentioned that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of all the prophets and messengers, and that he is the seal of all the prophets. There is no prophet after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam al-Tahawi, may Allah raise his rank, then talks about a very important topic that people of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah debated with the deviant groups regarding this topic in particular. And this is about the attribute of Kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, including Imam Shafi'i radiyallahu anhu, Imam Abu Hanifa radiyallahu anhu, Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, Abu Mansur al-Maturidi, all those renowned scholars debated with the deviant groups in the past regarding the attribute of Kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. While some deviants took one extreme and claimed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with the attribute of Kalam, but at the same time, they said that the Kalam of Allah is made up of language, sounds and letters. They claim that Allah speaks, then Allah remains silent, then speaks. And by this, they likened Allah to the creations, and they blasphemed for such a blasphemous belief. And those were known as Al-Hashawiyya. Al-Hashawiyya is a group, deviant group, that likened Allah to the creations. They even attributed physical organs to Allah Azza wa Jal. They said that Allah has two physical eyes, physical face, physical hands and physical legs. So they attributed a physical body to Allah Azza wa Jal with physical organs. Those were known as Al-Hashawiyya. One of them said once, Allah is exactly like us, except He doesn't have a beard or private parts. Wal-Iyazu Billah. So they believe that Allah is a human being, but not complete a human being, missing some parts. That's what they believe. Those are called Al-Hashawiyya. When it comes to the Kalam of Allah, they said the Kalam of Allah is like our Kalam. They said Allah speaks Arabic, speaks sounds and letters. He would speak for a bit, then He would remain silent, then He would speak and so on. So they likened Allah to the creations. On the other extreme, there is another deviant group called Al-Mu'tazila. They denied the attribute of Kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. According to them, they said if Allah is attributed with Kalam, then that would mean that He is like us. So Allah is not attributed with Kalam. So they denied this attribute and they blasphemed as well. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the majority of this nation, the mainstream Muslims, are in the middle. They confirmed the attribute of Kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal, but they said the Kalam of Allah is not like our Kalam. As we say, Allah is attributed with life, but the life of Allah is not like our life. Allah is attributed with hearing and sight, and the hearing and sight of Allah are not like our hearing and our sight. Same, the Kalam of Allah is not like our Kalam. Imam Malik radiallahu anhu, so that's the fourth Imam, he said, فَضْلُ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ عَلَى كَلَامِ الْبَشَرِ كَفَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْبَشَرِ. Meaning, as Allah does not resemble the creations, same, the Kalam of Allah does not resemble the Kalam of mankind. Very simple. Because Allah does not resemble the creations in any way whatsoever. When one has an open heart and he recites this ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, which means nothing resembles Allah in any way whatsoever, he would know that the attributes of Allah are not like our attributes. Amongst the attributes of Allah is Al-Kalam, speech. So it doesn't mean when we say Allah is attributed with the attribute of Kalam, that the Kalam of Allah is like our Kalam. As when we say Allah is attributed with life, Allah said, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. So Allah attributed life to Himself. So we say Allah is attributed with life. That's a just agreement with the term, but not the meaning, the term. So we say Allah is attributed with knowledge. Allah is attributed with life. But that doesn't mean the knowledge and the life of Allah is like our knowledge and our life. No. Our knowledge is limited. It increases and decreases. It has a beginning, it has an end. It develops over time. But the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect, as all His attributes. It doesn't increase or decrease. It doesn't develop. Same when we say Allah is attributed with Kalam, the one whose heart is open to understanding the correct belief, the correct tawheed, he would realize that the Kalam of Allah is not like our Kalam. And we are going to talk about this topic in detail. Because this matter held a big status in the past, in the debate between Ahl Sunnah and the deviant groups, this topic in particular, they would debate about the Kalam of Allah. The whole knowledge of Tawheed was called Ilmul Kalam. Then later on, the scholars would use this term, would say, the scholars of Al-Kalam, Ulama'ul Kalam. And when they say Ulama'ul Kalam, they mean the scholars of Tawheed, the scholars of the creed. So because this point held a big portion in the Islamic history of debate between Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the deviant groups, this whole knowledge of Tawheed was called Ilmul Kalam. As we mentioned, Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi radiallahu anhu summarized the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in his book that was known as Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah. And he mentioned at the beginning that this is the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And this book was accepted by all the scholars of Islam. They even gave it a great attention and they wrote explanations for this book as well. What did he say about the Kalam of Allah? Let us listen. He said, the Quran is the Kalam, speech of Allah. Allah is the one who revealed its expression to His Prophet without His own attribute of speech resembling any attribute of the creations. The believers believe with certainty that it is the Kalam of Allah, the Exalted, and it is not created like the speech of the creation. So by saying this, he confirmed that Allah is attributed with the attribute of Kalam. He also stressed on the point that the Kalam of Allah does not resemble the Kalam of the creations. It doesn't resemble the Kalam of the creation. How do we speak? We utter words that are made up of letters. We make sounds when we pronounce. So even if I want to say something in Arabic or English or French, I'm pronouncing, I'm uttering words. Sound is coming out of me. This is how we speak. When we say the Kalam of Allah is not like our Kalam, quickly you comprehend that the Kalam of Allah is not a language, is not a letter, is not a sound, is not a language. You comprehend this quickly once you understand this concept. So in this paragraph, he confirmed that Allah is attributed with Kalam, speech, and he said that the Kalam of Allah does not resemble our Kalam. But the Quran is called the Kalam of Allah. So see the attribute of Allah al-Kalam. You can say, when you say Al-Quran, that's a synonym for it. That's another word for Al-Kalam of Allah. So you can say the Quran of Allah or the Kalam of Allah. It carries the same meaning. And to say about the eternal attribute of Kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is Al-Quran, this is true Islamically, according to the Islamic rules, and linguistically as well. Linguistically and Islamically, you can call the attribute of Kalam of Allah the Quran. So that's one use for this terminology. When you say Al-Quran, one of its meanings is when you refer to the attribute of Kalam of Allah that does not resemble the attributes of the creations. Another use for that terminology is the revealed books. You can say the Torah is the Quran. You can say the Injil is the Quran. And you can say about the Mus'haf that we read in, this is Al-Quran as well. So that expression, which is revealed to the Prophet in the Arabic language, is called Quran. The Torah that was written in the Hebrew language, it was revealed to Prophet Moses alayhi salam, that was Al-Quran. The Injil that was revealed to Prophet Isa alayhi salam, it was in the Syriac language, that was also Quran. You can call all these revealed books Quran. Why do we call them Quran? Because they are expressions of the eternal Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are expressions. I'll give you one example. If you look around you in this universe, you can see the creations of God, the creations of Allah Azza wa Jal. These creations are not Allah Azza wa Jal. These are creations of Allah. They are signs for the existence of the Creator. They are not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, hasha. But there are signs, indications of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran that we read in, starting with Al-Fatiha, ending with Surah An-Nas, is expression of the eternal kalam of Allah. It's not the actual eternal kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal, because the actual eternal kalam of Allah is without a beginning, without an end. It's not a language, not a sound, not a letter. But this one is Arabic. It has a beginning, it has an end. There are verses, follow each other in sequence. When you read them, it's uttered by our tongues. So this is not the actual kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal, that is His attribute, that has no beginning and no end. It is an expression of the actual eternal kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. To make it even easier, the scholars gave this example. They said, if we write on the board the word Allah, even if you want to write it in English, A-L-L-A-H, on the board. If you ask someone, if you ask him, what is this? He's going to say, Allah. Yeah, but he doesn't mean that these letters, A-L-L-A-H, is the one that we worship, is the creator of the universe. No. But he would mean, these letters is an expression that refers to the creator. So, similar in this case, when we say this is Al-Quran, this is Kalamullah, we don't mean that the Quran that is in our hands is the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal. No. This is an expression of the eternal Kalam of Allah that does not resemble our Kalam. Another example, if you write the word fire, F-I-R-E, if someone asks you, what is this? What do you say? Fire. But it doesn't mean you can cook now on it. These are letters. Letters, they are not the actual fire that burns. These are letters. But this is an expression that you use to refer to what? The actual fire that burns. So when you say, this is fire, yes, this is fire. But it's not the actual fire. This is an expression that is used to refer to the actual fire that burns. Is that easy in that way? So when you say about the Quran that you read, which is in Arabic, this is Al-Quran, this is Kalamullah. This is what you say, this is Al-Quran, this is Kalamullah. You mean this is an expression of the eternal Kalam of Allah. It's not the actual kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal, that is His attribute, that is without a beginning and without an end. No, because this has a beginning, has an end. It can't be the actual attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now regarding the word or the terminology, Qur'an, Allah used it in the Qur'an when referring to the recitation in the subh prayer. Allah ta'ala said, وقرآن الفجر وقرآن الفجر أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل وقرآن الفجر إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا. So what's وقرآن الفجر here? وقرآن الفجر, the recitation in the subh prayer. So here the term Al-Quran is used for what? Is used for the recitation in the subh prayer. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, لا تسافروا بالقرآن إلى أرض العدو. لا تسافروا بالقرآن إلى أرض العدو. Meaning, do not travel to the land of the enemies while having the Qur'an with you. Why? Because they might take it off you and they might degrade it. They might step on it and the like. So they might degrade it. The Prophet said, لا تسافروا بالقرآن إلى أرض العدو. Here when he said Al-Qur'an, he used the term Al-Qur'an. But he was referring to what? He was referring to the Mus'haf that we read in that book. So in that ayah, وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ, that term Al-Qur'an was referred to what? To the recitation in the subuh prayer. Here when the Prophet said, لَا تُسَافِرُوا بِالْقُرْآنِ إِلَىٰ أَرْضِ الْعَدُوِ, he was referring to the mushaf. So this is evidence from the Qur'an and the hadith that Qur'an can be used when referring either to the mushaf or to the recitation. So that's one evidence. Now, Allah Ta'ala said in the Qur'an as well, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَهُ فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَهُ in Surah Al-Qiyamah. Meaning when Jibreel alayhi salam recites the Qur'an to you, follow his recitation. It doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recites the Qur'an as a teacher recites it for his student. No, that's impossible. Rather, it means Jibreel is reciting the Qur'an to the Prophet. Here, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ, meaning when Jibreel alayhi salam recites the Qur'an by our order. Because he's ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to recite it to the Prophet. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon receiving the revelation, the Qur'an, he used to hurry and repeat after Jibreel alayhi salam. Because the Prophet was very cautious. He doesn't want to miss out one letter. He wants to make sure he is saying it exactly as Jibreel is giving it to him, is reciting it to him. So he used to rush to repeat after Jibreel. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayahs to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ. Don't rush to say it after Jibreel. إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَهُ. We will preserve the Qur'an in your heart. We will make you memorize it without forgetting one letter. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَهُ. When Jibreel recites it for you, follow his recitation. So this ayah means that Al-Qur'an, these are the words that Angel Jibreel used to recite to the Prophet. This is called Al-Qur'an. So these actual words are called Al-Qur'an. That mushaf is called Al-Qur'an. And the recitation is called Al-Qur'an. So that word Al-Qur'an can be used when referring to the attribute of Kalam of Allah, and here we are talking about the eternal and everlasting attribute of Allah that does not resemble our attributes. Al-Quran can be used as well when referring to the revealed book that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that starts with Al-Fatiha and ends with Surah An-Nas. So Al-Qur'an has two ways of use. It depends what are you referring to. You can say Allah is attributed with Al-Qur'an and you mean Al-Kalam, the eternal and everlasting attribute. And you can say as well, Allah revealed Al-Qur'an, and here you are referring to this revealed book. In the hadith it is mentioned, when Prophet Dawood alayhi salam was fixing the saddle of his horse, he recited some Qur'an. Qur'an, what did he recite? Actually what he recited was from Az-Zabur, the book that was revealed to Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. And the Prophet in the hadith said about Prophet Dawood, he recited some Qur'an. So what did the Prophet call the Zabur? Qur'an. Why? Because it is an expression of the eternal Kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. So it has two ways to be used in that same terminology. That term can be used for this one and for that one. It depends on the context. Now, the scholar said, if you do not explain and you say, Al-Qur'an kalamullah, Al-Qur'an kalamullah, without explaining, it will be taken that you are referring to the attribute of kalam of Allah that has no beginning and no end. That's why the scholar said, when you say Al-Qur'anu kalamullah, you say غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقُ, not created. When you say Al-Qur'anu kalamullah, you say غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقُ, meaning not created. Why? Because you are not explaining, and it will be taken that you are referring to the attribute of kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. As you say, Hayatullah is not created. Ilmullah, the knowledge of Allah, is not created. Same they said, when you say kalamullah, you say it's not created. But if you are explaining and you say kalamullah in reference to the revealed books that some are in the Arabic language, like the book that Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some are in the Hebrew language, and some are in the Syriac language, then you say, yeah, these are created. They have a beginning and they have an end. Every letter in the Quran, in the Mus'haf, so I'm referring here to the Mus'haf, you can see it has a beginning, it has an end. If you write Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you start with the letter Ba, you finish, then you go, move on to the Sin. Then you move on to the Mim. So the letter starts and ends. You can see this by your eyes. And when you pronounce it, you say Bismillah, you can realize that you finished the Ba, finished the Sin, finished the Mim. You can realize how it has a beginning and it has an end. So if you say Al-Qur'an and you are referring to this, yeah, this is created, has a beginning and has an end. But if you are referring to the kalam of Allah that does not resemble the kalam of the creations, yeah, you would say it has no beginning and no end. And that's in reference to the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, radiyallahu anhum, was in Iraq. Imam al-Shafi'i radiyallahu anhu was in Egypt. Because Imam al-Shafi'i was in Iraq, then he went to Egypt and stayed there and died in Egypt. And his grave in Cairo in Egypt. Imam al-Shafi'i radiyallahu anhu saw a dream. Then he woke up in the morning. He said to his student, take this letter to Imam Ahmad in Iraq. He took that letter and he went to Imam Ahmad. He gave it to him. Imam Ahmad opened the letter and he read it. Then he started crying. The student of Imam Shafi'i said to him, what's in it? Why are you crying? He said, Imam Shafi'i told me that he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he told him that Imam Ahmad will experience a trial, a test. And he should remain patient as his reward will be paradise. So the Prophet gave Imam Ahmad the good tidings in the dream, as Imam al-Shafi'i saw in his dream. Then that student, after hearing this, he said to Imam Ahmad, give me something because of this good news. I carried the good tidings to you. I came from Egypt to you here. I told you in this letter, meaning what Imam al-Shafi'i saw, the Prophet gave you the good tidings that you're going to be in paradise. Give me something as a reward. Reward me for this. Imam Ahmad took off a piece of garment he was wearing that was touching his skin. Then he took it off him for blessings. These are the scholars of Islam. Then he went back to Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anhu. Imam Shafi'i asked him, what did he give you? He said, this piece of garment. Imam Shafi'i said, I'm not going to ask you to give it to me, but put it in water. Let's get from the blessings of this water. Because Imam Ahmad was in the highest level of righteousness. He was Siddiq. In the highest level of righteousness. What happened after that? Imam Ahmad was subject to a big trial and big test. The ruler of the time was influenced by the Mu'tazila. And he took side by them. He wasn't believing everything they said, but he took side by them to an extent that he brought Imam Ahmad and imprisoned him and tortured him and appointed 150 people to whip Imam Ahmad day and night. Just imagine, day and night they used to whip him. And he was patient. What did they want from Imam Ahmad? Imam Ahmad, as the scholars of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, said, Al-Qur'an kalamullah ghayru makhluq. Al-Qur'an, that is kalam of Allah, so I'm referring to the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal, is not created. They wanted him to say, Al-Qur'an makhluq. Al-Qur'an is created without explaining. So they would say, the scholars would say, if Al-Qur'an here is in reference to the revealed book that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes, it is created. But they want him to say, to use that expression, Al-Qur'an makhluq. And this is the terminology or the statement the Mu'tazila used to say. He refused. They whipped him. Now look at these beautiful words from Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi. He said, whoever hears the Quran and falsely says that it is composed by a human is a blasphemer. Because this is Kalamullah. It's not what the Prophet composed, no. If the Prophet made it up, first of all, as you know, the Prophet was illiterate. He never read in books, never wrote anything in his entire life. So what he was saying the kalam of Allah, what Jibreel alayhi salam taught him. So it's not something that the Prophet composed or Jibreel composed, no. It's kalamullah. So he said, whoever hears the Qur'an and falsely says that it is composed by a human is a blasphemer. Allah dispraised, censured, and threatened such a person with saqar. Allah Ta'ala said, سَأُصْلِيهِ saqar. Saqar is one of the names of hellfire. It means I will burn him in hellfire. Since Allah threatened with saqar, the one who says, in hadha illa qawlul bashar, because that's what the non-believers said at the time of the Prophet. They didn't believe this is kalamullah. They said this is kalamul bashar, the kalam of humans. So he's saying, since Allah threatened with saqar, the one who says, in hadha illa qawlul bashar, meaning the one who says this book is composed by a human, we know for certain that it is revealed by the creator of mankind and that his speech does not resemble the speech of mankind. So the one who says this is what the Prophet composed commits a blasphemy, as Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi radiallahu anhu stated. Not even Jibreel Not even Jibreel is the one who made up these expressions. No. So how Jibreel received the Quran and brought it down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Some scholars said Allah created segments of sounds. In the same way we recite the Quran today, in the way it is recited, segments of sound. And Allah created in Angel Jibreel alayhi salam the necessary knowledge that this is Al-Quran, that you are ordered to bring it down to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Plus, Jibreel saw the whole Quran written in Arabic in the preserved tablet. And he brought it down during the night of Al-Qadr to Bayt al-Izzah in the first sky. He brought the entire Quran, a copy of it, from Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz to Bayt al-Izzah in the first sky. So he has, as you say, a hard copy now of the whole Quran. He heard the segments of sounds in the way we recite the Quran, so he has no doubt about it. Now, whenever he's ordered to bring down one chapter, he would to the Prophet. Or few verses, he would, as ordered. And the Prophet would repeat after Angel Jibreel alayhi salam, and also the companions, as they heard from the Prophet, they recited the Quran. The followers repeated after the companions. The followers of the followers repeated after the followers, and so on up to now. So if you recite the Quran properly now, you learn how to, and you recite it properly, that would be the same recitation as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite, and as Angel Jibreel recited the Quran. That's why it's not something that you go to the university and you learn how to read a magazine, then you can go and recite Al-Quran. It's not like this. You know, some so-called doctors, they learned Arabic, but when it comes to Quran, they don't know how to recite Quran. They don't know how. The way of reciting the Quran is special. It's not like reciting or reading a newspaper or magazine. It's different. Allah Ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. They recite it exactly as it should be recited. So if someone doesn't learn how to recite the Quran, how would he ensure that he is reciting the Quran as it should be recited? He would make mistakes, as many people do these days. And sometimes, as you know, in the Arabic, if you make a mistake with the accents of the letters, fatha, dhamma, kasra, you change the whole meaning. There is an ayah that I heard myself, a spokesman who speaks well Arabic, making a mistake in this. The ayah that says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ. So here the subject, if you know in English, they say they have the subject, verb, and object. In the Arabic language, the object can sometimes be located before the subject. So the ayah, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ, the meaning of it, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى الْعُلَمَاءُ اللَّهَ. So meaning the scholars are the most God-fearing ones. When you say إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ, you put fatha. مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ, you put the dhamma. That will give you the meaning of it, that the scholars are the most God-fearing ones. But some people recite it as إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ, they put dhamma. And that would mean Allah fears the scholars. See, it changes the whole meaning. That's why the way you recite the Quran is not like the way you recite a newspaper or a magazine. That's why you have to learn. Some people, even without acquiring the proper way of reciting the Quran, in Ramadan they say to you, I finished the whole Quran, I recited it all. and some of them even non-Arabic speakers, what do? They read the transliteration. The one who is reading the Arabic and he's from Arabic background is not reading properly. So how about reading the transliteration? They make mistakes. So that's why one has to acquire it in the proper way. Go and learn. Now you learn Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ, say it. You learn another surah, another surah, another surah. Whenever you learn more, you recite. But if you don't know how to recite a surah, don't just indulge in reading it without being able to recite it properly. You would make fatal mistakes. And that will be very dangerous. That will be very dangerous. He said, the one who attributes to Allah a characteristic of mankind is a blasphemer. That is very, what do you call it, very broad sentence that covers many of the rules in our religion. When he used that sentence, the one who attributes to Allah a characteristic of mankind is a blasphemer. If you understand this, you will have the correct tanzih, we call it, of Allah. Tanzihullah, you clear Allah from any resemblance to the creation. Because what are the characteristics of mankind? Sitting, what is sitting? Isn't it a characteristic for mankind? Yes, it is. Even for humans, even for animals, for jinn, they sit. What about standing? What about moving from one place to another? What about going up and down, ascending and descending? All these are characteristics of mankind. What about speaking a letter and a sound? This is a characteristic of mankind. What about having a shape or volume? This is amongst the attributes of mankind and the creation. So the one who understands this sentence would have the correct tawheed in his heart. That whoever attributes to Allah any of the attributes of the creations is a blasphemer. So if someone says to you, Allah is sitting on the throne, you know that he likened Allah to the creations. And this is blasphemous. If he claims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves up and down, you know that he attributed to Allah the attributes of the creation. You know Allah said about the angels, تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ إِلَيْهِ تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. The angels ascend. So angels ascend and descend. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. So in one ayah Allah mentioned about the ascension of the angels to the skies. In another ayah Allah talked about the descent of the angels to the earth. So the angels go up and down, ascend and descend. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like the angels. So if you come across a hadith, where literally it would mean that Allah descends, it doesn't mean this. Like the hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari, which says, إِذَا مَضَى شَطْرُ اللَّيْلِ الْأَوَّلِ يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا فَيُنَادِي هَلْ مِنْ دَاعٍ فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ فَأُعْطِيَهُ. Now literally, if one were to take it literally, it would mean that after midnight, Allah descends to the first sky and would announce these words saying, is there anyone who is supplicating me and I will fulfill his supplication? Is there anyone who is asking for forgiveness and I will forgive him? Is there anyone who has a need and I will fulfill his need? So that's literally. But this cannot be taken literally. Because as you know, ascending and descending is amongst the attributes of the creations. That's number one. Number two, Allah is the creator of the universe, including the sky. Allah cannot be contained in His creation. Allah is the creator of the sky. Allah cannot be contained in that creation of God, which is the sky. Plus, to claim such a thing, and as you know that the Prophet mentioned that the seven skies in comparison to the Kursi, which is located underneath the Arsh, is like a ring in a desert. And the Kursi in comparison to the Arsh is like a ring in a desert. Can you imagine how big the Arsh is? The biggest of Allah's creation. To say that Allah is sitting on the throne and that after midnight Allah descends to the first sky. The first sky in comparison to the Arsh is smaller than the sesame seed or the mustard seed. It's very, very small. So according to their belief, when they take it literally, and because midnight changes every moment on a spot on earth, like we have midnight here, then after a moment it's midnight in another location. Then it's midnight in another location, and so on. Along the 24 hours, there is what? A midnight on a spot on earth. So according to their claim, Allah would be ascending and descending every moment from above the Arsh to the first sky, then going back up and so on. Not only that, because the first sky is very, 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 very small in comparison to the Arsh, it's either according to their belief Allah would shrink to fit in the first sky, or the first sky will be widened up to be bigger than the Arsh, then it will shrink, then it will be widened up, then shrink, and so on, every moment along the 24 hours. And as if they say, that will be what they worship. Something that has a big body above the throne, it shrinks every moment, it goes to the first sky, then goes back up, then down, up, along 24 hours, saying these words, then going back up, then coming down, saying these words, then going back up. Who would believe such a thing? So this is illogic. That's against the sound mind. What did the scholars say about this hadith? Very simple. They found another narration for Imam al-Bukhari himself. Instead of saying yanzilu rabbuna, it says yunzilu rabbuna. Yunzilu means Allah sends an angel. The problem is solved. So an angel descends to the first sky. The angel announces these words. So the angel would say, your Lord is saying, is there anyone who is asking for forgiveness and Allah will forgive him? Is there anyone who is supplicating Allah and Allah will accept his supplication? Is there anyone who has a need and Allah will fulfill his need? So the angel will descend. And because the angels go up and down, so that will be the interpretation of the hadith. So having the correct belief in one's heart about Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger is the gateway to paradise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us piety and righteousness and to make our end as pious Muslims, inshaAllah. Ameen. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.